Just gone 7:30. It's 7:20 ABC Perth. James Lush with you. Brian Briscoe is also with us to talk about the world of employment, as he does every few weeks. Morning.
Morning, Mr. Lush.
Nice to see you.
And you.
Let's first of all talk about this. I suppose the frenzy, the panic, the inflamed stories that are going on with regards to our employment scenario here in WA. Everyone, as I've always said on this program, WA kind of only knows on or off. There's nothing in between.
No doubt. Like an old hairdryer.
Yeah.
It's off or full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the old hairdryer I used to have in Ireland had that.
Did you have a medium?
Well, I never actually needed a hairdryer.
No.
Didn't want to say that. No, anyway. Straighteners, yes, obviously. But the nice, ideal scenario would be to have a few more options between on and off. You know, so it's just slightly down a bit, or just catching your breath.
Spot on. And you know what we do? We just don't recognize them.
Mm.
Like, so for me, when I watch... And we do a lot of work into the resources and oil and gas sector.
Yeah.
So really, you know, two of the industries that really make the state tick. We do have those stages, but what the media produces is that that's a recession looming.
Absolutely.
Right? So, you know, you put in perspective, and I don't know if I get the statistic exactly right, but at the height of GFC, unemployment in Western Australia got to mid 5%.
Mm.
I think it might have been 5.6 to 5.8%.
Mm.
The UK, the US would... dream of having an unemployment rate that low. Barack Obama would have romped home if the US had got their unemployment rate to 5.7%. Whereas we kind of get this frenzy of, oh my God, the boom's over and all the rest of it. So I think it is a really good point you raise, and I think it's really, really important for people to take a bit of context and put a bit of, you know, overall accurate thinking around the whole thing. So, and very timely. So since you and I caught up last, we've had, you know, a lot of news about projects going on hold and all the rest of it.
Mm.
Those of us that were in the industry, and I'm sure anyone that is listening to the program that's actually hell-bent into that resources industry, most of those projects we kind of knew weren't going to go ahead, right? So, and it was guesswork, obviously, right? Which it is for everybody. But they were the projects that were always going to go ahead if there was kind of a super boom or there was very high commodity prices.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you offered anyone who's in the iron ore industry the option of having $115 a ton 4 or 5 years ago, they would have taken it.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, oh my God, can we continue? So I thought really important for particularly your hiring managers and your small to medium company employers and employees to put everything into a bit of relevance around this and take a lot of the drama out of it. It's so easy to pick up the paper and engage yourself in the opinion. And I often said to people that news is someone's opinion that just happened to get printed. It's not fact, right? And I love the term current event entertainment, right? If you put that term on news, it takes a whole new slant. And as a result, as an employer, if you've been planning a recruitment strategy, and the recruitment strategy might have been to recruit one person or recruit 100 people, really stick to your guns in relation to how you're viewing your business and your strategy. My belief is if you as an employer, if you believe you're going to have a bad 6 months, you probably will.
Yeah.
And if you believe you're going to have a good 6 months, you probably will.
Very true.
Now, okay, if you were tied into a contract that was to do an expansion project of BHP, well then, you might see a little bit of a slowdown, but come on, there's other opportunities in Perth and there's other opportunities in Western Australia right now to take advantage of. So, really, the area of recruitment and how you're planning your 2013 staffing levels.
Yes.
Try to kind of put news as 10% of your decision rather than 90% of your decision.
One of the other things is that the big ones, as in the big companies who are shedding a few, but that's, you know, this is a good time to be shedding a few. They needed to shed a few because also the reality was that it was getting a bit top heavy, and also the wages needed a bit of a sort of a cool down, didn't
absolutely
it? Because otherwise they would just continue to spiral. So all that has to happen, and this is what's being reported, there's just job losses, but it's actually a case of just correcting the situation that was just getting a little wild.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, Martin Ferguson produced a white paper, and he's the Minister for Energy, just in this morning's Australian, saying he's produced a massive paper to say pretty much this, that if we don't remain competitive, we won't win projects. Okay, yeah. That's as obvious as the nose in our face, but it's now in a white paper at federal government level. So absolutely there's a need for it. But, you know, I also say I picked up two or three brilliant employees during GFC. when's the best time to buy a house?
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, good
you know,
point.
When's the best time to buy a house? When people are panic selling.
Yeah, of course. Do the opposite of what everyone else is doing.
That's absolutely, yeah. So it could be a great opportunity for you as an employer to snare someone to your company who, you know, you're sitting there going, God, I'd love to get a guy who's got big company experience but still understands how to run a medium-sized organization as at GM level right down to receptionist level, right? So you could take advantage of someone else's panic, and you can construe whether it was panic or whether it was a wise decision from them, but you might find there's some A players in the market that have found it very hard to find the last 12 months.
Very good. Brian Briscoe with us today talking about employment. Let's just, obviously from the employer's perspective, let's just talk about from the employee's perspective. When there is this sort of potential fear out there and everyone doing the sheep mentality and following the others, you start to obviously think, oh, maybe my job's not safe.
Mm.
Maybe this company's not doing so well. Maybe I should look at other companies that look a little bit more robust. Or should you just, you know, bunker down, get on with it?
I don't think you should wait for, and I'm gonna put this in inverted commas because I don't think we are having this, but you shouldn't wait for a downturn to decide whether you've got a job that you love, right? Okay, so, because then you really were just paying yourself ransom to remain a hostage in your own company, right? So,
yeah.
People, a great line that I heard years ago is the best of decisions get made in the worst of times, and the worst of decisions get made in the best of times. Mm. So, and I think it's very true. So, don't have what's going on in the papers have you start to influence your decision.
Yeah.
You know, one of the first sessions I did here, I spoke about that. People really sitting down and mapping out their ideal role.
Mm.
And knowing that your career is half your waking hours, and if you're working hard, it can be more than half of your waking hours. So pick what you want. Mm. And don't let an upturn or a downturn sway you. I think one of the problems we've probably had in WA is that people have kind of gravitated towards not being left behind by money, and in some instances have sold their soul in doing so.
Mm.
Find the role. If you're in a role you love it. The fact that the West Australian or the Weekend Australian or some media outlet produced a report that Oakage Port and Rails on hold for 2 years shouldn't change the fact that you love your job. All right? So inside influence is first, outside influence is second.
Answer me these questions, which comes from a Facebook page that we posted last night. First of all, this one. Rob says, I've had a few offers to move lately. Can't decide which one to take as every employer presents themselves well at interview. Okay, interesting, rather than the other way around. So the employers are doing a good job in sort of selling themselves. Can't choose.
Mm. Okay, so it goes back to what I just said. And a really insightful question, because he's right. Years ago, employers didn't feel that they were on show during interview stage. Subconsciously or consciously, they now do. No, and as a result, in an honest way, they'll still put their best foot forward to candidates to make sure that they've got the best people to choose from. Again, never start looking for a role without knowing your destination. Right? The great way to get lost is not to have a map. Or a GPS or a knowledge of where you're going. Sit down and write out, what are the five things I want out of my next role? And make decisions based on that and score. You know, start to bring a little bit of objectivity to what is a very subjective area. So if you go in and you interview with two companies and you walk away and you don't have anything to score them against, it's very hard to make a decision. So let's say, for example, I'm sitting down and I'm like, you know, it's really important for me to genuinely get work-life balance. I don't want to just talk about it. I really want to find a company. So how would I do that? Well, I'd want to work for someone who's got very strong family values or has got some pretty passionate extracurricular pursuits. So he's going to want to, or she's going to want to get that work-life balance. Therefore, there's a very good chance that they will manage that into their team. Okay, quite unusual for someone to have a really strong work-life balance yet insist that their team doesn't have one. So you want to start scoring, and obviously you're not doing it in front of them, you know, you're marking them.
So I give that 7.
Yeah, thanks for that question. Not your best one. Yeah, so you really do want to make sure that you are bringing a little bit of scoring and rating to it. And it doesn't mean, oh, well, I chose you because you were 49 out of 50, whereas yours were 47 out of 50. It's not about that. It's actually just bringing a little bit of clarity. And this is the thing that I'm always pushing with clients and candidates, is make decisions with clarity, because it's a very emotional subject. Moving jobs is very emotional. Recruiting people is very emotional. I'm sure you've experienced it yourself when you've got a candidate at the last stage and this halo effect kind of descends over them and you become emotionally attached to them.
Yeah.
That starts to blur your decision. So, and the same as an employee, if you start to get on very well with someone in the employer organization, they might not be there in 4 months' time.
Good point.
Right, so you've really got to try and bring a little bit of science to it.
One more quick one. Cheryl says she runs a medium-sized business in the resource sector. How does she compete with the big boys around town to attract and retain staff?
It's good. I'm always delighted to hear that those females are running these because I think that they often do a fantastic job, and sometimes better than our prefrontal cortexes still aren't.
Not developed, James.
No, we're too young.
Well, we're getting older.
Yeah. But I'm genuine in that. I think that they can make fantastic employers. It's a great time. It's a good question. It's a great time to look at that, right? The hype that we've heard is going to unsettle some people that are working in the big companies. And they may see some of those medium-sized organizations as safer havens. But some of the things to do as a medium-sized business that you can't do as a large one is look at some of the employee benefits that you can give that can be quite flexible.
Mm.
So extra day annual leave. And let me rephrase this. Large organizations and conglomerates can absolutely do all of these things, but it's a massive decision to do so because it can affect 200,000 or 300,000 people.
Yeah.
But if you're a medium-sized business, look at how much would it cost you if you gave someone 21 days annual leave instead of 20.
Mm.
Something we do as a company that has been very, very powerful is we provide all our employees with life insurance, permanent disability, trauma, and income protection insurance. It's a lot less expensive than you think, and what it does is it gets you to walk the talk about your commitment to staff's well-being.
Mm.
And again, very, very hard for someone in our game, let's say, who's got 600 or 700 staff to compete with that, because it's a 600 or 700 person decision.
Yep.
Whereas when I brought it in place 4 years ago, it was like a 6-person decision when we were starting to grow. So you can bring things into place and just go and have a chat to people who have done certain things around medium-sized companies to their benefit, and get an understanding of the cost of it, because yes, something like that might sound very expensive.
But it ain't.
No, it isn't, and it can set you apart from the people out there.
20 seconds on this one. Eloise asks, how do you avoid seeming rude by not accepting colleague friend requests on Facebook?
Can't do this.
20 seconds, all right.
How do you do it?
I
just ignore. What do you do?
Exactly. Well, hey, don't be rude in every other interaction with them, and then it will just look like you've missed it. There's two ways of looking at it, right? If you've got staff that invite you on Facebook and they're Gen Y, it's not a bad thing to be on, because if you really need to understand their activity on Facebook during the day, you've got very transparent visibility of it. A colleague asking you on Facebook, hey, you know what? Everyone on Facebook ignores requests. Have you accepted everyone who's asked you?
No.
There you go.
You're just human. Thanks so much for coming on. Brian Briscoe with us every few weeks to talk employment. See you again soon.
Thank you.
Let's quickly go to the Bureau. Matt Bodehoven's there. Morning, Matt.